the gates of hell when I fall back down.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. How you doing, Al?
Hey, I'm doing great, and it is good to be here. How are you?
I am doing well, man. I'm doing well. It is Monday, May the 3rd. We're into May already. Can you believe it? Can you believe
it? It is incredible.
Well, you know, it is, I don't know, what is it, 103 days since Dictator Joe took office, and he's already ruined the country. He's on his way. I mean, he's following Barack Hussein Satoru Obama's playbook to a T. But before we get
Marxist
into this.
Marxist is moving the nation in the wrong direction.
He really is. He's a wow. But you know who's moving in the right direction? And I digress. In the PGA News, Sam Burns, young man playing on the PGA Tour, got his first PGA Tour victory yesterday at the Valspar Tourney in Tampa, Florida, at the famed Innisbrook Copperhead course. If you've ever played Copperhead, it's a tough course, and this guy overpowered it, shooting 17 under par. He for 4 days, by the way, he bested veteran Keegan Bradley, and Bradley and Burns were tied at 15 under going into hole 13 yesterday. It's a par three, all carry over water. Sam Burns hits it out to the left, makes the green, not a problem, 183 yards. And Bradley gets up. The veteran gets up, and he proceeds to hit a high draw that didn't draw like it should have, and it came up short, doinking it right in the drink. Boom! Two-shot penalty, two-shot swing. Ends up losing the tournament by two shots. Got to give Sam Burns a lot of credit. The young man kept his composure, and there's a lot of people talking about this guy, and he's apparently, you know, like all the other rookie phenoms out there, but this guy's got some talent. He hits the ball a ton, and it was really nice to see from Shreveport, Louisiana, I believe.
Cool under pressure. People seem to like him, and watch his name on the leaderboard. He's an up-and-comer for sure.
Sam Burns, that's right, and good young man, and was very emotional, had his family right that were waiting for him at the 18th hole, including his wife, and it was good to see. It was a good win by the young man, so we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, John Daly, same situation, but in the Champions Tour. John Daly, after much personal cancer, overcoming some incredible physical ailments, osteoporosis, the whole thing. The guy shouldn't even be out there playing, but he was leading the tournament for 3 days and gets into the 13th or 14th hole, did the same thing, put one in the water, and Mike Weir went on to win the tournament.
Hey, there's a guy you want to talk about, you know, diametrically opposed to Sam Burns. Sam Burns, you know, a brute guy, cut, you know, fit. And John Daly, man, he's the poster boy for Joe Sixpack. Go out there, have a couple of beers, throw it around, smoke a cigarette and a cigar. You know, fart a little bit, you know, have a good time on the course. That's John Daly.
Yep. And he's popular. Every crowd following him around. It was good to see. Now that there are crowds out there, not wearing face masks, thank goodness, because you're outside.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you. You know, Billy sent me this text today, and I got to read it to you. This is how fraudulent this Fauci is and this administration. And you know, and I'm going to say fraudulent because if I'm going to talk about it a little bit later too, but if you can allow illegal aliens into the United States infected with the Chinese virus and then take these same illegal aliens and disperse them around the United States, infecting, you know, healthy Americans, There's something wrong, and it's nothing but a fucking ruse, okay, this whole pandemic. But this is what Fauci this is what Fauci stated. Fauci told us they found a variant that evades the test, not the VD test, Al, but evades the test.
Damn.
He wants you to know that you may be sick with an illness that has no symptoms. and cannot be verified with the test to confirm you have it, which is why you still need to wear a mask.
Oh.
Now, stop and think about that. You said, oh, but stop and think about it. You know, this is the left wing. This is beautiful coming from Marxist, communist. It is the same example. It's the same double, triple speak as the climate change ruse. And think about it, okay? You know, dictator Biden is going to allow the United Nations to abscond with over $4 trillion of U.S. taxpayer money for all of the climate changing, you know, schemes that they put out there. And remember, back in 1998, half of the United Kingdom was going to be frozen over with global cooling. And when that didn't happen, the narrative quickly changed to global warming. And oh my God, that narrative didn't happen. So let's change it to a more ambiguous term, and we'll call it climate change. Okay? So climate change is just like you may not have symptoms. We can't verify the test that you have it. You probably have it, and you should still wear a mask. And it's a brilliant campaign, just like climate change is a brilliant campaign. You know, there are four seasons that we experience in most of the United States. It's called winter, spring, summer, and fall. Now, I know many of you, especially you in the chat room and Sue, you on the board there, you know, you might be shocked by that revelation, okay? And the climate changes during those seasons. And it goes from cold to warm to warm to heat, from heat to cool, and from cool to cold. And that's climate change. So if you're sitting in Death Valley or Las Vegas in July and the temperatures are roasting 108 degrees, but it's a dry heat, okay, the global warming climate change has occurred. Now, think about this. It's January, and you're sitting in the frozen tundra of Minnesota, the land of 10,000 frozen lakes, and climate change has hit Minnesota once again with global cooling, which is a function of climate change because 4 months earlier, it was 92 degrees out. So it's a brilliant campaign of deceit and a brilliant campaign of fear. And Anthony Fauci, the deceit over the Chinese virus, indenturing the American people to fear and to the government is the primary mission. And let's remember two things. It was dictator Joe Biden and nasty Pelosi who ridiculed and maligned then-President Trump for closing down travel to and from China when the Chinese virus began to metastasize. And now those two frauds are acting like they are the Lord and Savior for the American people, okay, and they know what's best for you. I mean, even the DNC media now has declared Operation Warp Speed was dictator Joe Biden's idea. And Fauci says you may not know you're sick or infected, and there aren't tests that would show you're sick and infected, so just wear your mask. Okay. I mean, but Anthony, I got the vaccine. Well, you know, we aren't sure the vaccine will stop this strain, so just in case, wear your mask. But Anthony, the DNC, I'm sorry, the CDC, they're both the same, by the way, said that I didn't have to wear a mask if I got the Chinese virus vaccine. Well, that was last week. This is this week, and next week will be next week. And so basically, the communists are nothing but dishonest, and they're frauds. They have absolutely stirred up a pot.
So the question is, what is it about these masks that is driving Fauci and Biden so crazy that they feel they have to force it on the American people? What is it with these masks? Why are they doing it? What are they trying? What's the objective? What do you think the objective could be?
I think it boils down to one word, control. Mm. And you think about this. Look how they have been able to manipulate the children in America. The government schools now have absolutely made climate change a youth issue. you know, Mother Earth, Earth Day, pick up and recycle. And then, and you know what? Recycling is probably a good idea anyways. But you don't need to have climate change in order to recycle. So now what you've done is you've indentured the kids to the government thinking. And now kids now can't go to school because of this, you know, oh my God, the fear of you getting this, you know, and even though there's a 99.7% survival rate, you might got this Chinese virus and you're going to survive, but you know, we don't want you to get the sniffles, little Johnny. And, you know, so there's a control factor. And you know what else it does? It enables to stifle the U.S. economy. People now are working from home. Many people are, but you can't work from home if you're a waitress or a waiter. You can't work from home if you're a chef. You know, this is the thing that really it has impacted the lower socioeconomic rung on the American ladder. And it's all by design with these communists. Now the government is the savior, right? We need a $1 trillion bailout. We need a $1.8 trillion bailout. We need a $900 million bailout. We need a $2.3 trillion bailout. And all it says is the government has come to the rescue. Grandpa and grandma government have come to your rescue. Don't fear. It's okay. Don't pay your mortgage and you're not going to be evicted. Why? Because the government said so. And now, a year later, we're in the same boat as we were. We have this great vaccines that have come out, but still wear your masks and don't gather. So the issue of the First Amendment, the freedom to peaceably assemble, the right to peaceably assemble has been abridged, but that's okay because it was done so in the name of a pandemic. And now the communists have found a way, they figured out a way where they can usurp the U.S. Constitution, and specifically the Bill of Rights, all in the name of a pandemic. And all five components of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution have been abridged. And now they are going to talk about the Second Amendment. By God, you're staying home. You can't, you know what, weapons. Oh, we've got shooting. All of a sudden, Dictator Joe comes into power and, you know, he's put in place. He's the anointed one. And then we have all these mass shootings. Now, we had two Islamic terror attacks, but let's not talk about Islamic terror attacks. They were guys with guns. Okay. The Fifth Amendment has been abridged by this administration, as well as the government in the name of what? A pandemic. The Tenth Amendment, states' rights, has been abridged by the government. All in the name of a pandemic. It's a beautiful, artful masterpiece. And you know what? People are brain dead. Why is it that the progressives didn't want don't want the Constitution taught in schools? So people don't know what it actually means for the right to bear arms, or what it means to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Oh, we'll call it an insurrection. Okay, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, or the right to freely practice your religion. A pandemic doesn't allow it, does it?
Well, it does allow the local officials to finally get a little extra power that they've never had before by mandates. I mean, all over the country, mayors and governors are mandating and fines for not wearing a mask, wearing a mask. Oh, you got to wear two masks. You must be 6 feet apart. Businesses cannot remain open. You can't open your business if you're a service industry. Oh, 25% maximum occupancy. Oh, but next week we'll up it to 50. So you have all of these local politicians suddenly getting a little taste of federal powers that they didn't have before, but only during a national crisis do they get this extra power, and they do not want to let it go. That's the whole thing. This idiot mayor in Tampa, I don't know if you saw his press conference, but he was very upset with Governor DeSantis, who wants to open up all of Florida, make sure that there is no zero virus passports will be illegal, and this Marxist mayor in Tampa is sitting there bad-mouthing DeSantis on television. Because he – and you know why? Because he doesn't –
why?
He likes having this extra power. He doesn't want to give it up. He got a taste of it, And it's like fentanyl to some of these Marxist politicians. They're hooked. They can't give it up. It's like Hunter Biden trying to get rid of his crack pipe and seeing some Parmesan cheese on the floor.
Snort it. Well, hey, I had me some Parmesan cheese last night.
Yeah, if you don't know the reference to that, in one of his interviews, Hunter Biden was laughing with one of the chick shows that he was on, saying that he was so hooked on crack a 4-month binge, and that there was some Parmesan cheese on the floor, and he started smoking it because it looked like crack. And that's a joke. Not a joke.
Yeah.
It's real, but he's treating it as something that's humorous. So anyway, that's the reference to smoking Parmesan cheese and Hunter Biden, the president's son.
Yeah,
when you can explain something, it's not funny. It takes all the funny right out of it.
Well, you know what? It is funny. And it's sad because, you know, you've got Hunter Biden now getting a pass. And you know what? It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And look who was in on the ruse: Twitter, Facebook, the New York Times, and of course the Democrat National Communist Committee, who was behind all this. They suppressed and sanitized the entire story of Hunter Biden, the crackhead loser that he is, the thief that he is. And why? In order to protect and shield, you know, dictator Joe Biden, the big guy, as he was referred to by Hunter Biden. And, you know, had that been a Trump kid, they would have absolutely reamed, they would have dissected, they would have looked for every little piece, nook and cranny to crucify any one of the Trump children. And, you know, the Trump kids, For all you want to say, the three, Eric, Don Jr., and what the hell is the daughter's name? I was going to say Milan. No.
Tara?
Oh, my God.
Jenna?
Bigfoot, help me. The daughter's name.
The
oh, my God.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was never any controversy with them. We're talking about 30 years now, and they didn't make any news for smoking crack. They didn't make any news for stealing. Ivanka, thank you, Boyd. And by the way, Sue from New Mexico, Boyd says hello. And think about that. All three have not done a damn thing to besmirch the Trump name. And now you've got Hunter Biden, who's just a worthless piece of shit. And he, you know, there's one sordid thing after another. And this system today shields the very scumbags who should be brought out to the open. And we're talking about abuse of power. We're talking about the abuse and the mistrust to the American people. The fiduciary irresponsibility of dictator Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, that alone should have put this guy back in Delaware, somewhere in Delaware, that we would never hear from him again. And this plagiarizing fool, it was the perfect stooge to be put on a pedestal, and the strings being pulled by, I think the puppet master has got to be Barack Hussein Sator Obama. When you look at the administration of dictator Joe, it's all regurgitated Obamaites, including the treasonous rat bastard John Kerry. John Kerry is one anti-American scumbag. And, you know, this is the whole – what we can't wrap our heads around as to why this is happening. You asked about, you know, about masks. What is it? And it's about control. And the very people who are seeking to take control are the very people who demanded and sought to be in power. They stole to be in power. Why? Because it's been profitable, and it's been very profitable. You and me, Mr. and Mrs. America, you don't count anymore because we, the people, made a mistake, and we are paying dearly for making that mistake. And that was electing Donald J. Trump in 2016. We will never, ever get a chance to rectify the issue of this dictator Joe being in power. The the establishment learned their lesson in 2000 from 2016, and the concerted effort on the part of from Nancy Pelosi to Jerry Nadler, you know, how we resist Trump campaign, that 6-page manifesto that the Democrat Party followed to a T. And by the way, there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. Okay, so stop calling them Democratic. They are not Democratic. They are Marxists. They are communists. There is nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. And then you've got this treasonous rat bastard, John Kerry. He's been one anti-American, anti-constitutionalist for the last 50 years, going back to the 70s. What is that, 43 years, 44 years? He is an absolute dishonest disgrace. And for John Kerry to betray the trust of Israel by getting with a theocratic, despotic, terrorist government, I'm talking about Iran, and disclosing over 200, okay, campaigns by the Israelis, covert campaigns by the Israelis, and disclosing that and then working behind the scenes to undermine a sitting president, the 45th president of the United States, again, coercing with Iran, John Kerry should be in Gitmo. He should be shot for treason. He is one big scumbag. And it's really, really sad. And his son, don't forget now, actually, I have to give Chris Hines kudos because he recognized that Burisma there was something wrong with that, and he backed out of the deal. But you got Hunter Biden, crackhead Biden is a greedy SOB, and he tried to take, and he took, and he took, and it was involved with Burisma up to his ears, so much so that the big guy, dictator Joe Biden, had to find a way to bail his ass out yet again. And this is the sordidness of the Biden crime family. You think John Gotti, who has crime, had a crime family, it pales in comparison to what Joe Biden and his crime family have done. It is absolutely incredible what we are seeing going on today, and the taking and the taking and the taking. And it's okay, because our rights as we the people are being usurped by these thieves, by these anti-constitutionalists, by the establishment swamp. And they're doing it for what? All in the name of a national emergency, a pandemic, just like 9/11, okay? National emergency. We have to have the Department of Homeland Security now. Oh, we're going to track your every whereabouts. Oh, what a great idea. Let's expand government even more. And now we're talking about a $2.3 trillion, a $2.8 trillion bailout.
Going back to John Kerry for a second, John Kerry vehemently denied an account that he discussed Israeli military operations with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, as described by Zarif in a leaked audio published this week. So at one point during the tape, they went on, but Kerry goes on, "I can tell you that this story and these allegations are unequivocally false," Kerry tweeted on Monday. "This never happened, either when I was Secretary of State or since." So Kerry denied it. End of story. Have you seen it anywhere in the paper? I haven't.
No. And you know why? Because it was Rudy's raid that took it right off of the front page.
Exactly. And what was sitting on Rudy's desk when the FBI agents came in and raided his house looking for electronic devices?
Hunter Biden.
Two hard drives from Hunter Biden's laptop. Rudy said to the FBI agents, "These are Hunter Biden's laptop hard drives.
Hard drives.
Do you want them? They're part of what you're looking for with electronic equipment, and they're part of why you're here, at least what's in the paperwork." They were like, "No, we don't want that. We're not touching that," which is amazing. Well, anyway, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif issued an apology Sunday for something that supposedly never happened, for comments that he said annoyed the country's supreme leader. Recording surfaced late last month of Zarif long the public face of Iranian diplomacy, saying the Revolutionary Guards had far more influence in foreign and nuclear relations than he did. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei appeared to chastise Zarif during a televised speech Sunday. Khamenei did not say Zarif's name, but said that comments were a big mistake that must not be made by an official of the Islamic Republic. He added that the leaked comments are a repetition of what Iran's enemies say. So Kerry said, never happened. Zarif apologized for something that never happened, and Zarif was made to feel annoyed. He said that the Supreme Leader of Iran was annoyed by what he said that he didn't say, according to Kerry, of something that never actually happened.
Well, why would the Supreme Leader be annoyed? Well, first of all, you've got John Kerry, a leaked audio published this week, okay? So a leaked audio means the audio was of John Kerry. The audio had John Kerry's voice on it. So why would the Supreme Leader, the pedophile Ayatollah Khamenei, be upset? Was because he had a good thing going. He was getting fed information from a treasonous rat bastard, John Kerry, and it was actually audio proof that it was John Kerry. John Kerry got caught with his prayer rug down, and he was exposed for the treasonous rat bastard that he truly is. And now the Ayatollah Khamenei is wondering, where is he going to get this information that's undermining, one, Israel, and then undermining the national security of the United States of America. And it's okay now, because I'm sure somewhere in the fold, we already know with Susan Rice in the fold, and you've got John Kerry in the fold, you also have Valerie Jarrett somewhere there. And I'm sure that Valerie Jarrett, through Susan Rice, has a direct line from the White House to Tehran. So if you start connecting the dots, the Ayatollah Khamenei is shitting in his prayer rug, because now it's been exposed that there's leaks, and the leaks are coming from high up, and the leaks are coming from credible individuals, John Lurch Kerry, maybe Valerie Jarrett, and any other Obamaite that's sitting in the White House right now, Susan Rice. And so you can sit here and say, well, it's unequivocally false, but John, there was audio with your voice talking with Mohammed Javed Zarif, and now it's, what you heard is what you didn't hear, and you didn't hear what you heard. It's not what it appears to be, and it appears to be not what it is, and so it's unequivocally false. No, we know you're a liar. We know you're a cheat. We know you're an anti-American. We know you're an anti-constitutionalist. I believe each and every function of or component of that leaked audio, and the fact is the Ayatollah Khamenei is really reeling right now, because the information that was being fed to him during the Obama administration, the information fed to him to undermine the Trump administration, was one John Lurch Kerry, and now you got Kerry back in the dictator Joe Biden administration, and you know that he was feeding information to the Ayatollah. Now the eyes are going to be on John Kerry, maybe some ears, but then again, you know, I understand fully that John Brennan is going to make sure that he's going to sanitize John Kerry so that the dots don't connect back to him, back to Kerry any longer. This is one sordid mess. This is it. Yep. In 103 days, Al, 103 days, they have done more damage than what they spoke of President Trump in 4 years. And you know what? President Trump, he was having things in order, and he knew who the rotten eggs were. And unfortunately, it goes so deep inside of the government, this sordid, what would you say, rotten egg, it penetrates so deep that he was probably starting to make a little inroads, and that's why you had all of these sources close to the president, an anonymous source, anonymous this, anonymous that. And, of course, it was never any real names out there. It was just stuff to throw at the wall to give the appearance that the Trump administration was in disarray. And in the meantime, behind the scenes, it was scumbags like John Kerry who are undermining the president, the 45th president of the United States. Gangrene.
Well, this is so,
you got it.
Yeah, and this, right, and this is so egregious, they should be calling a grand jury immediately on this for sedition, because John Kerry was leaking information to an enemy, the world's greatest financer of terrorism, on our ally Israel, leaking classified information. And then on the same vein, you've got Mohammad Javad Zarif saying that the Revolutionary Guards had far more influence in foreign and nuclear affairs than he did. That's huge. That's what really got the Khomeini upset. Is now we know that the Iranian Revolutionary Guards literally control every part of the foreign policy and the nuclear decisions of Iran. We knew it,
right,
but now he confirmed it.
And think
John
about
Kerry
this.
John Kerry should be in Gitmo. He should be there. This should be on the front page for weeks, because this is such a such a violation of classified material against one of our greatest allies.
Yeah, and you know what's really sad about this whole thing, and this is what should give Americans pause. Kerry's role is U.S. climate envoy, and this fictitious, you know, this made up class, this made up rank. Okay, it makes him a member of dictator Joe Biden's National Security Council. Think about how dangerous that is. Think about how dangerous this entire issue is with John Kerry, that treasonous rat bastard, now has access to national security information. He shouldn't have a security clearance for the local dog pound. That's how seditious this bastard is.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, it should be taken away immediately. In fact, his lane is climate change. He's the commissioner of czar of climate change. Nothing to do with Iran. He's playing outside of his lane. That means that he's having a dual role, one for the public, and then without the public seeing, he's continuing negotiations with Iran, in which right now we're in negotiations for a 15-person prisoner swap, roughly $7 billion dollars that we're paying, that they're holding us hostage for these hostages.
$7 billion.
So we got something else going on with Iran. Yeah, you're right.
Well,
this is the largest scandal, and gosh, Trump had nothing even close to this.
Nothing. And think about it, $7 billion. And, of course, it was the Obama-Biden administration that released all that cash in the middle of the night, in the dead of night, okay, in two unmarked planes, and all that cash that left the United States for what? For a fucking traitor, okay? And this is what this is really where this whole noise about what? About aiding and abetting the enemy. You know, this is just transparency bull. There's nothing transparent. More pallets of untraceable cash headed to Tehran. Well said, Iggy. Mom, you said that well. More pallets of untraceable cash headed to Tehran. You know, I was talking to somebody who has parents over in Iran, and a loaf of bread, whatever their currency is, it's like $400,000 of their currency, whatever their currency is, and inflation has run amok. In the meantime, they still want to be the world's leading terrorists, and they keep their people in squalor. They have inflation that's run amok, and all they want to do is terrorize, terrorize. And these treasonous rat bastards like John Kerry aid and abet the enemy. But he's used to it, you know. He aided and abetted the North Vietnamese. So he's used to it. He's used to it. We got a call, I think it's South Dakota. Good evening. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. What is your name? Hello?
Yeah, hi. My name's Joe. Can you hear me? What?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
I'd like to know. Hi. I was listening for a couple of minutes before you put me on, and you guys were talking about our great ally, Israel. I've asked people, what makes Israel such an ally? I haven't gotten an answer yet. So
well,
maybe you guys
can
tell.
Okay.
Why are we paying $6 billion a year or more? Joe,
can I ask you a question? Why do you think Israel is not our ally? And then I can kind of get an idea what lane you're traveling in.
I haven't seen any evidence that they are.
That's not an answer. See, I think Israel is our greatest ally in the Middle East because they're the only democracy in the Middle East surrounded by Islamic dictatorships. That's why they're our ally, and that's why they're our ally, greatest ally in the Middle East. Who would you say is our greatest ally in the Middle East, Joe?
Well, I wouldn't know. That's why I'm asking you. And that answer is not a good answer. Simply because they're a democracy doesn't mean that they're our greatest ally. An ally means they're doing something for the United States. What is it that they've done for the United States?
Well, this phone you're probably talking on was Israeli technology. The computer you're probably using to listen to this show and do whatever you do on your computer has Israeli technology. Their medical technology is transferred all over the world. We have about 35 to 50 companies that are based in Israel that are traded on our NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange. So there's a huge amount of commerce and technology between our two countries. And then, not only that, but they're able to test our weapons. We sell them to them, they use them, they buy them from us, so there's a very strong weapons trade as well. And then they take our weapons and then their technology, they make them better. And then they bring that new technology back to us. It's a quid pro quo. So can you tell me another country in the Middle East
that
is even close to that?
Where did you get that information?
Well, I'm telling you that it's true, and there's nothing that there's – Joe, there's nothing I'm going to be able to say to convince you. So, you know, asking sources is just ridiculous. You just have to look it up. But that is what I believe.
I don't have to look it up. I'm asking you. You're the one who
I just told you.
I just told you,
and you don't believe
Joe,
what I said.
Do you guys not understand what sources are?
Yes.
Do you guys not understand
Joe.
Logic? Do you
Joe,
guys
Joe,
not understand?
Joe,
it doesn't
don't
matter.
Don't saying Joe.
Joe, before you
I'm
jump down
question.
My page,
you have to.
Before you, Joe, quiet,
you guys
you
are
jump
just
down,
as stupid as
before you jump down my case, I asked you a question. You didn't even have an answer. You did not have an answer.
Oh, he hung up.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess he didn't like the answer that about technology. So you got 35 to 50 companies that trade on the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange who the United States trades in commerce and technology. The United States also has an agreement with Israel that with regards to weapons. Not only are the weapons sent to Israel for testing and technology, but the Israelis make them better, which also makes our military better. So it's not just the idea of a democracy, okay, the only true democracy. Yeah, he had about 30 too many beers, right? He didn't like the idea of calling him Joe. Well, Al, you said, what's your name? My name's Joe. Okay, so we called you Joe. Well, don't call me Joe. Well, what the fuck do you want me to call you? A cam? There's the anti-Israel sentiment. You know, would you rather be, do you really consider Turkey an ally? No. I mean, the Israelis have been loyal. And what about the medical technology? Oh, my God. Teva, I mean, the pharmaceuticals, are we going to be it's okay to be relying upon China? China is the source for the Chinese virus that has infected the entire world. Look what India is going through in Brazil right now, okay? They're going through what the United States went through last year. And it's far worse in those primitive countries, okay, because they don't have the infrastructure that the United States has. And I mean, seriously, are you that myopic that you can't see what Israel and the United States, by partnering, have done? I don't believe it. I can't believe it.
Well, Paul got it right. He's an anti-Semite and a Jew mm-hmm. hater. And his views are not in the minority. There's a lot of people that think
yeah.
like him. And for me, what was the signal was, well, who is our greatest ally in the Middle East? And he couldn't answer the question because we don't have one. A true ally in the Middle East. Yeah,
no.
Egypt. Yeah, we may have
okay.
a cold peace with them, but we know that they're jihadis. We know who we're dealing with. So, yeah, it's sad. It's very interesting because people like that, we need to hear their voices because
mm-hmm.
they're idiots. And I love talking to idiots like this to expose them because it's very easy to do. And this guy, what, lasted 45 minutes, couldn't answer two of my questions, and then hung up.
A minute. He lasted 3 minutes. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
When, you know, you guys are just like everybody else. You just gave a litany of information as to why Israel is an ally. And you defined why Israel is an ally. Now, I don't know how much clearer you had to make it. What are your sources?
Where do you get your information?
Well, you can go to Forbes. That's one. You can go to Wall Street Journal. That's two. You can
mm-hmm.
go to Business Week. That's three. You can go ahead and check out Pharmaceutical World. That's four. I mean, really. Military Times. That's five. Seriously. I mean, yeah. Okay, so I guess instead of reading the book, Mark Twain, by Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, just wait for the movie, Joe, okay? Don't read the book. Just wait for the movie, okay?
Where he goes over to Israel and says nothing but a rock, barren crap hole before the Jews turned it into an oasis.
Yeah, no, the guy doesn't want to read the – okay, what are your
something
sources?
Abroad.
Yeah. I don't know. They have broads. They have everything there. You know what?
Oh, it's the Israeli women are beautiful.
They are.
I didn't even mention the Israeli women.
Oh.
They could export those.
Oh.
Oh, that would be human trafficking. I don't know if they could do that. We'll leave that to the other countries.
And Iggy points out, read papers from the government – they're on the line. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not sure the man can read. So let's not, we're not sure, you know, I'm not sure if it's South Dakota, how early it was that those they can read. Oh, we got another troll. You want to take it?
Yeah, I'll screen him.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk. I'll screen him.
All right. So John Lurch Carey, he's denying that the audio published last week was him and it was false. So we know John Kerry's track record. The sad part of it is that John Lurch Carey is now part of Biden's National Security Council, and that should be troubling to everybody. The fact is that John Kerry betrayed the trust of the American people. John Kerry betrayed the trust of our ally Israel. John Kerry enabled an adversary. And as he did with North Vietnamese, he's doing with Iran. And that should be troubling in itself. And sadly, John Lurch Carey, nothing will happen to him being a deep state insider. And coincidentally, Rudy's raid occurs when the heat started being turned up. And John Lurch Carey being exposed for the treasonous rat bastard that he truly is. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know who I blame for that happening? Nothing. I blame the Republicans.
Well, Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska accused Kerry of treason in an interview with Politico, and he spoke Speaking on the Senate floor, Sullivan 56 said Kerry needs to go, and he's absolutely right. And you're right, the Republican Party. But you know what? It's becoming clearer. It's the unity party. It's becoming clearer. Okay, you know, don't speak ill of a former friend. And that's what I get from Lindsey Graham. Okay, that's what I get from Susan Collins. Oh, you know, John Kerry served in the United States Senate, and he served admirably. You know, that's horseshit. Okay, the man is a cancer. Okay, the man is anti-American, and you know, I don't care. You know, Lindsey Graham. Okay, here's the doublespeak of Lindsey Graham. I don't know if we should trust the tape or not, and encouraged others to be cautious to do and to wait and see how authentic this is. Yes, let's wait and see. Okay, but let's just wait and see, Lindsey. Okay, we've had 4 years to just wait and see. Let's just wait and see. Okay, even more time to wait and see. Mitt Romney, who was booed by the GOP, Utah GOP convention, Mitt Romney called the allegations very troubling, but ultimately told reporters, this is something that has to be evaluated and looked into. Well, the former governor of Massachusetts, who was, I'm sure, very chummy with then Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts. You know, how can you trust a unified party? I mean, really.
Well, we got a call. We got Boyd's on the line, and Boyd wants to weigh in on our last caller, and he says he is not a troll. He's one of the good guys.
Good. No, that's good. Hey,
yeah.
Boyd.
Hey,
good
and
evening.
I'm offended. Just because I followed a troll doesn't mean I are a troll.
No, there was another call. There was another call.
I mean, if I'm a troll, I'm trolling the trollers.
How you doing, Boyd?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, I wanted to answer one more ally part to Joe's answer, if he's still listening. Israel was the greatest ally we had in the two Gulf Wars attacks into Iraq. And he's going to ask, what? They didn't participate. They didn't participate. Well, hell, I was over there in the first one when they had every fucking reason in God's green earth to go after Saddam after he started firing Scuds into Israel. And we told Israel to sit down and shut up in your corner. Don't move. Because it would have flipped the whole scenario over there had they have gotten involved in that.
Oh,
either
time.
Way. You know.
Great point. That's an absolute great point.
For an ally to sit there with every excuse needed and every thing on the books in their favor to sit down and shut up because we asked them to, you know, to keep the Arab alliance together, and they did. That takes some goddamn balls, and that yes, sir.
Yeah, question for you. Do you think that at that point the Israelis knew that the United States would be true to their word and would take care of business? It was not just a lip service. It was an issue where there was a trust between the two nations, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, when Bush thought he had everything wrapped up and everything was good and hunky-dory, he didn't. Just like in World War One, when they thought everything was done and finished with Germany. 25 years later, what are you doing? You're doing the same goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Beating over the same goddamn territory.
Yep. Didn't extinguish it. Should have put the fire out immediately.
Yep. And they needed to do what Smokey Bear does. Pour water on it, stir the coals, pour more water on it, stir the coals. And they didn't do any of that.
Yep. That's right. And look what happened, you know, and of course, look what happens in 2007, 2008, and now you have another issue in 2021 with Iran, you know, being emboldened again and really calling the shots in Syria and trying to take over Iraq. So
yeah.
we should have put the fire out.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we weren't at that point in time, Iran wasn't playing into the hands of Bush and everybody.
True that. Yep, that's right.
I mean, I'm sure that our buddy Israel was feeding all sorts of intel and everything to us that they had, but they did not send in any bullets or bodies.
So you would consider Israel a true ally of the United States?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because when we have the right people in, like with Trump, who was going to stand by his word, I could see him being very true. With Biden and Kerry and all of this other crap that's going on, I would say that Israel has a question mark over us.
Gotcha. Good point.
You know, I mean, you're sitting there in the Middle East with the enemy all around you. And, you know, Trump was in office and nothing was said, nothing was done, because nobody trusted Trump not to throw the full weight and might of the U.S. military against them. Now they see that, hey, we could get away with it now because Biden ain't going to do anything. And besides, we got Kerry telling us what they're getting ready to do anyway.
That's the harm. That's the sickening part of it. You nailed it right there.
Mm-hmm. And
yep, that's huge because the U.S. just betrayed Israel. And how are they supposed to trust us? They can't.
Yep. Yep. And I am so very, very totally insanely pissed at myself because in 94... I had a chance to break his eye socket and his nose all at the same time with one fell swoop punch, and I didn't take it.
Really?
I wished I would have now. Yeah. I wished I would have with his shit-eating grin on his face.
Can you tell the story?
Yeah, I was in D.C. This was shortly after the 94 turnover. And I was in D.C. to see my congressional delegation. I was doing a little bit of lobbying for motorcyclists. And Don Young, my congressman from up here, his wife, Lou, loved us. And she said, "You want to go have your picture taken with Newt?" We all said, "Yeah, sure. Sounds like, sure. That'd be great." So she drags us in tow. Now, you got to remember, there's three of us, four of us, all dressed in leathers and everything else. And we're trying to keep up with this little old lady going through the halls of Congress, and takes us over to the Capitol building, to Newt's office. No pre-warning that we were coming or anything like that. She just walked in. Lou says, these are my husband's biggest supporters back home. We'd like to get a picture with Nudis, what she told the receptionist there at the desk. And sure as shit, in we go, and we get our pictures with Newt, and the deal was that Newt didn't have any time to stop and bullshit with us, because there was, I can't remember what was going on, but there was some national security thing, something with Iraq or something had flared up. And so we had to leave because he had meetings starting. I walked out Newt's door, and sitting right there at the chair or on the bench outside his office door was fucking Lurch. And he kind of looked up and smiled at us and stuff. And, I mean, I had no reason like I do now to smack him. But I did have a reason for him throwing his medals over, or somebody's medals from Vietnam era, and I was still pissed at him for that. But we had to hustle out. I mean, there was all sorts of guys coming through the door with stars and all sorts of stuff on their shoulders, and guys with spaghetti hanging out of their ears and everything like that. I mean, I should have nailed him right then and there and done my time, but been happy. Never got another chance, but I should have just nailed his ass right there.
Hey, if you found Jane Fonda, you could have got a twofer.
Yeah, if I would have found Jane, I would have had a twofer. Yep.
Well, boy, yeah, you see, it goes to show that you're not a white supremacist. You're not a violent white nationalist. You used your decorum. You had self control. You know, unlike the Democrat Communist Party members, have no self control. So, you know, kudos for showing some restraint. And it was very tough. And you kick yourself, you know, 20 years later. But don't you? You know,
I've been kicking myself for over 20 years now.
Well.
Every time I see that face on TV.
Well, you think he's going to skate? So, what do you think is going to happen to him for this betrayal, if anything?
Nothing.
Yeah, I think
he's going to. They're not going to do anything to him. You know. All of his buddies are around him.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Would you go after your best buddy if he did something like that?
Yeah.
Plus, you probably knew that he was doing it anyway to begin with.
Yeah. If the screw's starting to tighten in Washington, D.C., I mean, it's you know, the loyalty goes out the door if it looks like it's gonna start encroaching on their pocketbook or, you know, your own office. And if it turns out that they can deflect, John Kerry will be a sacrificial lamb so that the whole thing can be washed, you know, put off to the side. So right now the Rudy raid took it off the front page and no one's talking about it except us. And you know, hopefully it'll go away and be a non-story in another week because of the Establishment's Protected Species Act.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're already covering it.
Yeah.
I mean, it got a little bit of coverage, but mostly the only coverage it got was on Fox. You know? Excuse me. On Fox. You know, the rest of the media, John Kerry, he didn't do nothing.
Nope. He said it was unequivocally false. But then Rudy says it's unequivocally false. It's not true. And, of course, the media says nothing. And now they're made to retract stories because the truth is starting to come out. And, you know, the DNC media, like DNC CNN, DNC MSNBC, DNC New York Times, you know, they have to start offering retractions because the stories that they were reporting were false about Rudy. So it's going to be a matter of time.
But then again, you know, all the retractions on all the stories are on the back page of the funnies.
Yep.
That's why I always go to the funnies first when I look at the newspaper.
I look at the obituaries first and make sure my name's not in there.
Well, no bits is second place I go. Anyway, guys, I just wanted to tell you how I felt about that and telling Joe about what an ally will do for you.
Thanks for that, boy.
Even if it means having to sit down and put your hands under your butt.
That's right. And Israel has done that so many times, though, and they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you be safe. You be safe up there in the global climate change.
Oh, yeah.
All right, boys. Great call. Thank you much.
Ciao. Right.
Thanks for your
support. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye.
That was our friend Boyd from Alaska. Yeah. Yeah, had an opportunity to take out John Lurch, Kerry. Huh. Nice. You know what? We got a little bit of a break, so I want to recognize everybody in the chat room and that's on the switchboard. So hello to Iggy Mom. Nice to see you, Iggy. Bigfoot, our big patriot. You can go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And if you follow Bigfoot, he's put some pictures up on his Blogspot, and it's really cool. I really like the hiking near the Black Hand Gorge. That to read that little account up in Ohio that he had. So Bigfoot does this when he goes to different places and he takes pictures. So go to his Blogspot. Excellent Blogspot, by the way. There's some great stories in there that you can read, including, you know, Biden tests the taxing appetite of his fellow Democrats with his capital gains tax proposal. You know, another job killing creation by, you know, the communist dictator Joe Biden, and of course he's raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Golf Dogs, HOV Radio, nice to see you, dogs. Hank Jones, Poly Sports, right here on Global Patriot Radio Wednesday evenings at 5:30. Our big fat soft underbelly, good evening, Belly. Nice to see you, mate. Always a pleasure to see you. Paul Sutliff, and you can catch Paul right here on Global Patriot Radio Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, he's the author of The Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Modern Islam. He's got another book coming out, so that's coming out soon. And Chief Simple Facts of Life, tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio, 2 p.m. Oh, is it 2 p.m., 3 p.m.? Hold on a second. It is 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Tuesdays on Blog Talk Radio. Good to see you. And then, of course, we had Boyd. Nice call, Boyd. Nice to see you, the Alaskan. And we got Sue from New Mexico. Good evening, Sue. How are you? Nice to see you. And thank you all for joining us this evening. And those of you out on the podcast. And also, I want to say Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, the Simone Nicole Show. If you want a break from politics and you want some good self-help tips, check out the Simone Nicole Show on Spreaker.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Joshua does a great job. You learn some good self-help tips, eating, you know, vitamins and exercise. Did you exercise today? I walked 3.5 miles today. So there you go. And Bigfoot's Place, some great, honestly, some great photos on there. So you did a nice job there, Big. Photos up. And thank you for your blog spot. It is really a really cool blog spot. And it's if you want international news, if you want American news, I mean, you've got everything, The Stream, DACA Tribune, Comma Press, The Dawn, The Saudi Gazette. You've got Space War, European Views, Daily Wire, Newsmax, New York Post. So some really good great articles in there. So, Al, an article that came through the wire here, the other rhino, the other fraud.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. Mitt
From
Romney.
Holder.
he got booed at the Utah GOP convention. He just doesn't get it. And, you know, this is the arrogance of these individuals. Now, it's okay to have, you know, you have your opinions, okay? You're entitled to it. That's the United States of America. But Mitt Romney just doesn't get it. And he spoke for 3 minutes and 58 seconds, and he got booed for 3 minutes and 58 seconds. And the spaghetti spine Mitt Romney said, "I'm a man who says what he means. And, you know, I was not a fan of our last president's character issues." Romney said as the crowd threw insults at him, including communist and traitor, first reported by the Salt Lake Tribune. "You can boo all you like," Romney said. "I've been a Republican all my life. My dad was governor of Michigan. And I was the Republican nominee for president in 2012. Ooh, he was the Republican nominee, and he was the Republican nominee for president in 2012. I am so glad that Mitt Romney pointed that out, because we all remember how the spaghetti spine former Republican governor of Massachusetts rolled over like a fat, happy pig and let not only Barack Hussein Sator or Obama walk all over him, but he also cowered to newsreader Candy Crowley. So, you know, Romney likes to talk tough at times, but he is a milquetoast establishment Republican. And if Romney thinks there's actually a mission of unity by dictator Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Sator Obama, he's even more dumber than we thought. Or he's just a plain old swamp dweller giving an assist to the DNC-controlled media. I mean, this guy is such a fraud. I'm sorry. There's a track record with Mittens Romney. And when he ran for the United States Senate in Massachusetts against Ted Kennedy, he had Ted Kennedy on the ropes. And in good Romney form, he folded like a wet noodle when it counted. And now he's a tough guy, okay? Now he's talking tough, because now he's endearing himself to the establishment. But the American people, we the people, see right through this fraud. You know, I voted for him in 2012 over Barack Hussein Sator Obama. I liked the fact that he was a businessman. But I knew his character, and his character is to fold. And he didn't disappoint. He folded. Okay? I distinctly remember I was driving in my car, okay? I could have been on a motorcycle, but I wasn't. I was in my car. And I had the radio on, and it was the Glenn Beck show. And Glenn Beck opens up his show with "Happy Days Are Here Again." And it was the day after the first presidential debate between Romney and Obama. And Glenn Beck was gloating. And he should have, because, you know, I'll tell you, I was absolutely dead surprised that Romney did so well. And he did. He absolutely skunked Barack Hussein Sator Obama. But, you know, we all know in politics it's not over till it's over. And I laughed. I heard "Happy Days Are Here Again," and man, Beck was going on and on about Romney, and it's like, man, it ain't over yet. There's still two more debates, and Romney will screw it up. And it's like, I've never forgotten that. And sure as crap, man, it only took the second debate, and Romney screwed it up. And he folded like a wet noodle. Even Romney's words trying to win back the crowd shows how out of touch he is with the baseness of much of the GOP base. "You can boo all you like, but I've been a Republican all my life. My dad was a Republican, the governor. My dad worked for the Republican candidates he believed in. That was his dad. And if you don't recall, I was the Republican nominee in 2012. Well, excuse me. There was a lot to choose from there. And as a matter of, and if that matters to those in today's GOP base who idolize Donald Trump, loyalty to conservative principles or a long-term commitment to the party is not what defines today's GOP. Instead, disturbingly, a potentially dangerous for our republic is that much of our GOP base is clearly still about loyalty to the twice impeached former president who spewed the big lie about the 2020 election results, who called on his supporters to come to Washington on January 6th, leading to Capitol riot, as President Dictator Joe Biden called it in his speech Wednesday, the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. And that's bullshit. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War could have been in the 1950s when five Puerto Rican nationals stormed the United States House of Representatives and shot and killed four people. The worst attack on our republic since the Civil War was September 11th, 2001. That fundamentally changed America. That fundamentally brought in the globalists. That fundamentally attacked our Constitution. So as much as the frauds in Washington, D.C. want to make January 6th into this such big insurrection, which it was not even an armed insurrection for one, and it wasn't even an insurrection, okay? It is the phony narrative created by the establishment to prop up dictator Joe Biden, okay? And to sit here and say that we blindly follow Donald Trump, oh, the twice impeached, the twice partisan impeached president, okay? Because it was Nancy Pelosi who covered for dictator Joe Biden and his quid pro quo with Ukraine, okay? We heard it in our own words because big man on campus, Joe Biden, tried to be big shit at this April function in 2019 when he bragged about the quid pro quo and getting the special prosecutor fired and withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee to the Ukrainian government if they didn't fire a special prosecutor who was looking into Burisma, which his son was involved in, Hunter Crackhead Biden. So all of this noise about, okay, technically, yes, it's twice impeached Trump, but it was a partisan witch hunt. Remember, it was Jerry Nadler who wrote the manifesto, the six-page manifesto, How We Resist Trump and whatever the hell the rest of it was, but How We Resist Trump. Okay, and it was carried out by Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi. Did you get one Republican with that first trumped-up charge to impeach the president of the United States? No, not one. It was a partisan witch hunt, and it was led by the biggest witch of all, Nancy Pelosi. So to sit here and to define the Trump supporters, the American patriots, as being the radicals and being the white supremacists is absolutely false. It's phony, and it's nothing but a distraction from the left-wing anti-American and anti-constitutionalist, the enforcers of the Democrat Communist Party, Antifa and BLM. The dictator Joe Biden government is one destructive body. It is one anti-constitutional body. It is one anti-American body. And they are more destructive than what happened on January 6, 2021. And isn't it convenient that all hell broke out just as Arizona was to cast their Electoral College votes? How convenient. And also, with eyes on the ground, I talked to a buddy of mine last week, unsolicited. He told me that he was at the event, at the Capitol on January 6th. He didn't go in, but he watched as the Capitol Police willingly removed the barriers and then waved people through. That was some insurrection. And who gave the stand down order, huh, to the Capitol Police? It was none other than Nancy Pelosi. That's who should blame for the January 6th, okay, riot. And how convenient it happened just as Arizona was set to deliver their votes for the Electoral College. And the powers to be in Washington, D.C. couldn't afford anybody straying, okay, and exercising their constitutional right to oppose the election of dictator Joe Biden. Oh, so now Mitt Romney, Oh, so the CNN reporter is all fawning over themselves. That's why Romney was heckled during his speech with people calling him traitor. It wasn't that Romney, a man who served the public in roles as from governor of Massachusetts to now a U.S. senator. Oh, and the carpetbagger, by the way, is from Utah. And the carpetbagger's father was from Michigan. Oh, and the carpetbagger is now a senator in Utah. You want to talk about an opportunist? The article goes on to say, Romney, a man who has served the public in roles from governor of Massachusetts to now a U.S. senator in Utah, which they left, conveniently left out, betrayed America or the GOP's core conservative values. Rather, his determination to stick to his principles made him a traitor to the idol they worship. No, you just don't get it. But you know what? Since the left wing dominates the media, since the DNC controls the media, they are selling a bag of dog shit. Okay? They want you to believe that we worship Donald Trump. No, we don't worship Donald Trump. We like the idea that the man fought back and he exposed the frauds that they truly are, just like carpetbagger Mitt Romney. That's the value. There is no value with Romney. He's nothing but an opportunist. If he had some values, he would have ran for the United States Senate in Utah, where he supposedly was originally from. Instead, he travels to Massachusetts. He runs for the United States Senate, and he fails. Then he runs for governor. Why didn't he stay in Massachusetts and run for the Senate? Huh? Why didn't he? No, all of a sudden, he's back in Utah. Oh, and his father's from Michigan. Whoa, whippy shit. Romney might take some solace in the fact that video from the event does show some people applauding him. Oh, my God. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Some people actually clap for him. Oh, that is so nice, isn't it? Oh, in addition, the resolution to censor Romney failed in a close vote of 711 for and 798 against. But that's a far cry from when Romney won the support of nearly 72% of the Republicans who voted in Utah's 2018 GOP primary when he first ran for the Senate. And you know what? Who lent their support for candidate Mitt Romney for the United States Senate, huh? Who gave his support? Huh? You know, the little lapdog, the spineless wonder, okay, Mitt Romney, tried to latch on to the Trump administration and was summarily rejected. And so he got his panties in a wad. But when he ran for the United States Senate, taking over for Orrin Hatch, it was Donald Trump, President Trump, who gave his support. He lent his support to Romney. But that was okay. That was okay for that to happen. Even though the vote to censure Romney fell short, the language of the resolution serves as another warning about where so many in the GOP base are. The resolution contains unproven conspiracy theories about Biden's family. Oh, like Hunter Biden getting, what, $1 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife? Or how about Hunter Biden smoking crack? And now the revelation from Hunter Biden himself that he snorts Parmesan cheese. I guess that was to endear him to the Italians. And how about the quid pro quo in quid pro Joe's own words? Biden stating, big man on campus, Biden stated that he withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee to an ally, the Ukraine. Now, Joe, I don't know what the issue is with the ally in Ukraine, and that's something you may have to read if you can read, okay? But here you have a quid pro quo in Joe Biden's own words, his own words, withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee unless a special prosecutor is fired. And we're talking about theories about the Biden crime family.
Tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
So there you have it. There's a conspiracy theory in dictator Joe Biden's own words. And this is how the DNC media likes to cover up for their fellow sordid Democrats. It's now a conspiracy theory, okay? And January 6th, okay, is supposed to be the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. No, the worst attack on our republic was 9/11, 2001. 3,000 people died at the hands of 19 Islamic terrorists. Our Pentagon was attacked. Our trade center in New York was attacked in New York City. And two possible sites in Washington, D.C. were to be attacked, one being the Pentagon. The other one, we weren't sure if it was the Capitol or the White House. And thankfully, the heroes on that flight that perished in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, took down those terrorists and thwarted their efforts. But it changed America. It changed and usurped more of our freedoms and liberties, all in the name of national security. Okay? Don't tell us about this fraudulent event that being on January 6th being an insurrection. That's absolute and utter bullshit. That is a talking point from the left, and it's only facilitated by the DNC media, and they're allowed to get away with it because no one challenges them. No one. The Venezuelan people are laughing at what's called an insurrection in America on January the 6th. They're laughing. The Chinese are laughing with about an insurrection. They're laughing. Our founders are laughing that that's considered an insurrection. But hey, that's the establishment. That's what they want you to think, okay? Just like, you know, the plandemic, you know, we have to wear masks and you have to stay 6 feet apart. But then when illegal aliens come in who are infected with the Chinese virus, we're just going to disperse them around the country. And you have to accept that. Romney is also woefully out of touch with the GOP base when it comes to the legitimacy of the 2020 election results. In January, Romney called out fellow Republicans who continue to further Trump's big lie. Well, if DNC CNN and the DNC say it isn't so, I guess it's a big lie. Oh, but, you know, two counties in Georgia had to, they found 4,000 additional votes for Trump. Just two counties out of 157 did an audit. And there was improprieties. You know, this whole thing, Al, is nothing but a sham by the left. Romney deserved getting booed. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't want to understand it. And it's okay because he's endearing himself even further with the swamp. He's embedded. And if he runs for reelection, he'll get reelected because the swamp will ensure that he gets reelected. The swamp will make sure that what happened in 2016 never, ever happens again. And that's what the biggest issue with Donald Trump is. He exposed the swamp. He exposed the frauds from Susan Collins to Mitt Romney to Lisa Murkowski. And I hope the people in Alaska, she waged a successful write-in ballot campaign after she was beat by Joe Kelly in Alaska. I hope this time the machine fails miserably in Alaska because she, don't forget, Lisa Murkowski is on the side of dictator Joe Biden, who just pulled the rug out of the Keystone Pipeline and killed 33,000 jobs. And Lisa Murkowski is on the side of why you and I are spending 60, 70, 80 cents a gallon more for gas today than we were spending on January 20th, 2021. And it is why truckers in America now are spending $1, $1.50 a gallon more for diesel fuel, which as you increase the cost of trucking, okay, it increases the cost of goods being transported, including groceries.
Well, one of the things on this story that Holger found fascinating is you're reading from a CNN story about why Republicans booed Romney by Dean Obed Allah. Anyway, because you had started Republican Senator Mitt Romney doesn't get how low his party sunk. So it already started as a hit piece on the Republican Party after the Republican Party booed Mitt Romney for all the reasons that you listed, and how CNN Dean, the propagandist, how he ended his article was, the GOP that Romney and his father once had leadership roles in is gone. In its place is a white nationalist movement filled with people who don't accept the results of an election unless they agree with it and who still worship a man who incited a terrorist attack upon our capital. The real question is, why would Romney or any patriotic American even want to associate with that type of people, those type of people? So CNN, being the propagandists that they are, took the Republicans booing Mitt Romney, who they love, obviously. Dean must love Mitt Romney because he used Mitt Romney to attack the Republican Party. And that's what Holger, I think that's why Holger alerted us to this article, because the hypocrisy within the reporting is so fascinating, because it is a true propaganda piece, an anti-conservative propaganda piece using Mitt Romney as the foil.
Yeah, yes.
By regurgitating all the lies of the Marxists to attack the Republicans and Donald Trump, even going as far as regurgitating Mitt Romney agreeing with President Biden, calling this the January 6th the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. What about World War II? I'd say that was a pretty bad attack on our republic.
Yeah, that's
what about
right.
The Vietnam War? What about the Korean War and 9/11, which you had mentioned?
Yeah, What was it that I believe it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, September 7th, a day that will live in infamy.
Pearl Harbor.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. So, and then of course, Dean Obadala uses the term white nationalist movement. There you have it. This is the left wing's wet dream. Okay, insult white people and then make all Republicans part of a white nationalist movement. Now, of course, Dean Obadala and his fellow radicals don't talk about the enforcers of the Democrat Communist Party, Antifa and BLM, who go around the country and destroy cities around the country. What, 120 cities? How many tens of millions of dollars of destruction did the Democrat Communist Party enforcers leave behind in New York City, in Minneapolis, in St. Louis? How many dead people did they leave behind in St. Louis, in New York City? How is it cool that the Democrat Enforcement Party, the Democrat arm, the Enforcement Party of the Democrat Communist Party, okay, kills cops along the way, huh? Huh? Is that fashionable? Oh, but the GOP is now a white nationalist movement. That's the new buzzword for the left-wing anti-American and anti-constitutionalists that go out there and they want to insult the American people. They want to insult those who followed or supported President Trump. It's okay that you support a thief by the name of Hillary Rotten Clinton, an anti-constitutionalist whore who stole from the American people, okay? But because we decided that we like the way and we like the style, okay, and the transparency, Donald Trump. Now you've got a dictator, Joe Biden, who sits in the basement of the White House, who can't come out until he sees his shadow. Then he comes out, you want to talk about 150 Pinocchios? I mean, he gave a speech, finally gives a speech to a joint session, 11.8 share, okay? 11.8 million people listen to dictator Joe Biden for his first joint session speech to 200 people sitting in the United States House of Representatives, okay? Let's compare that. Donald Trump did 44 share, four times as many people. And then the other DNC station media outlet, DNC-CBS, has the audacity to say that 85% of the American people agreed with Joe Biden's speech. That's utter horseshit. That is absolutely a bald-faced lie. So now you've got Dino Vidella with CNN with his talking points, okay? He hits all the left-wing talking points, white nationalists and terrorists and attack, all that nonsense, all that crap in a hit piece, and uses Mitt Romney, the perfect tool for the Republicans, because he's nothing but a fucking rhino, a spineless spaghetti-spined. Go ahead.
Well, how I see it, Dean Obiedala is a brilliant Marxist propagandist, because what in that last paragraph that I just read about making it about white nationalism, he is pushing the Marxist critical race theory in his article without even mentioning the word. So what is this critical race theory, and what does it look like in practice, and what was Dean Obiedala actually promoting in his Marxist propaganda? Well, critical race theory is more prevalent than you would think in our national government, in our schools, in our businesses. For example, the FBI was holding workshops on intersectionality theory. The Department of Homeland Security was telling white employees they were committing, quote, micro inequities and had been socialized into oppressor roles. The Treasury Department held a training session telling staff members that virtually all white people contribute to racism and that they must convert everyone in the federal government to the ideology of anti-racism. And the Sandia National Laboratories, which designs America's nuclear arsenal, sent white male executives to a three-day re-education camp where they were told that, quote, white male culture was analogous to the KKK, white supremacists, and mass killings. The executives were then forced to renounce their white male privilege and write letters of apology to fictitious women and people of color. And the author of this, Christopher Rufo, who wrote this in the Imprimis publication from Hillsdale College, said, this is just the tip of the iceberg. He has 1,000. He goes into 3 more examples in business and 4 more examples of this, what I just read, in education, mainly in the university environment. And he said there's 1,000 more of these that he has at his disposal. So Marxist critical race theory is what Dean Obiedala is pushing in this CNN story, where the Republicans booed Mitt Romney and he flipped it around. And I'm reading through it and I'm going, this guy, this Marxist, is brilliant, because he's taking the Republicans booing another Republican and making it an attack on the Republican Party and conservatives, giving the critical race theory line of white of the Republican Party being white nationalists, racist, KKK, because they're using race to push Marxism in America, because they tried it with the environmentalist movement, that failed. They tried it with climate, it failed. The Marxists tried it in the 60s, but McCarthy put an end to that. So they're trying different ways to advance the Marxist agenda, so now they're using race. And race is the one thing that is going to divide us at our seams. And I think they got it right this time because it's happening.
Well, so
you got
yeah,
all
I mean,
this, you got all this, you got all this playing around in this one CNN article by Dean Obiedala. And to me, it is fascinating. And thank you, Holger, for finding this and bringing it to our attention, because that's one, that is one hell. You could spend a semester just analyzing that article and how it plays into Marxist propaganda. Pure anti-Americanism. Disgusting.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I found out firsthand, you know, when you talk about colleges and universities, my niece had showed me a paper that she had to do based on some notes or a narrative by her professor. And and I asked her, I said, well, what is this, like a history class? She goes, this is English. It's like, what? And it was about social justice, and they brought in, of course, the white nationalists, the white supremacy. They brought in George Floyd, and it was a whole thing on social justice. And that she had to write something, and this is being taught in an English class. And it's like, you know, and she asked me, she goes, how am I to answer this? If I know if I answer the way I want to, I will receive a less than average grade. Yeah. And and you know, and it's almost like the indoctrination is these kids understand that if they do try to freely think and then go against that system that they don't believe in, that they will be penalized. And so either they get good grades in order to move on and to get a good job, or they toe the line and, you know, they just take it where it's you know, they take their lumps and they move on. And it's almost like the professors have them by the gonads.
Ashley's paying a lot of money to go to this college.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's got to take the class. She needs to have – she's a serious student. She needs to have good grades if she has plans of going to whatever her – wherever her career path may take her. And you got this pissant little English teacher forcing – social justice on her, and that if she feels that she cannot answer the question honestly in an English class for fear of getting a bad grade because the teacher has the power over her to fail her or worse.
Correct.
That is evil. That teacher is evil.
Yep.
And I guess I would bet 100-1 that what your niece is going through, that is going on in every college campus across this country, except for Hillsdale College.
Except for Hillsdale, yeah, right. Agreed, 100%.
See, that to me is evil. I mean, to have that much power over someone who's younger and then paying to be there is evil and disgusting. I can't think of a greater evil if you're in the academic environment.
But look how this gentleman, Dean Obiedala, you know, turned this entire story around. And this is what the left wing, they have a license to define the right. And their definition of the right is sanctimonious. It's ingrained and it's their way. And it's just like when the Democrats are in the minority party, you know, for 2 years, Nancy Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer were demanding that the Republicans toe their line and listen to them and adopt their agenda. And then they talked about, you know, bipartisanship. And all the noise. And then when the left-wing anti-Americans get into power, as they are right now, it is their way or no way. So, it's incumbent upon the left-wing to define the Republican Party, to define the GOP. And in doing so, we have to accept that, okay? And you're a white nationalist. You're a white supremacist, and again, it's fashionable to go with the identity politics and to demean the white people, because you are the problem. Okay, the white man is the problem. Donald Trump is the problem because he's white, and only the white Republicans follow him. And the biggest fear that the left wing has, and they learned this in 2016, it was black Americans leaving the plantation of the racist Democrat Party. And you know what? To me, that's why there was such a concerted effort to rig the 2020 election, because it would have even have been more damaging to the Democrat Communist Party to learn that it wasn't 9% or 10% of black Americans. It was 30 and 40% of black Americans who left the plantation of the Democrat Communist Party because they saw who was indenturing them to government, who was demeaning black people in America. It wasn't the GOP. It was the Democrat Communist Party. They were seeking to continue to enslave black Americans to their government dependency ideology. And I think, you know, to me, that's why there was such a concerted effort to rig the 2020 elections, because it was very telling. And Trump exposed these frauds. Even if he lost by 2 percentage points, and he lost by 2 million votes versus, you know, 7 million votes, okay, the fact is that Donald Trump exposed the frauds in Washington, D.C. And what we're seeing in the first 103 days by dictator Joe Biden with his radical anti-constitutional, anti-American policies is absolutely frightening. You know, will can this republic sustain it? And that's going to be a great question, because as they plunge America further and further into debt, these pie in the sky, these radical anti-American schemes, $1.9 trillion, $2.9 trillion. And then you look at the crux of it, only 9% of the $1.9 trillion bailout went to the American people. I mean, this is irresponsible. This is fiscal irresponsibility. And now, you know, all across the world, in a Zoom call, okay, with world leaders, there's how many were up on that screen? 20 world leaders, 18 world leaders were on the screen, and dictator Joe Biden is the only buffoon with a fucking mask on during a Zoom call? Does that exude confidence in a rich nation, in a country that prides itself on liberty, individual liberties and freedoms? I mean, this buffoon is wearing a mask.
Hell, I'd rather vote for Bruce Jenner for governor of California than that moron.
Yes. I mean, what type of buffoonery is it to sit there to see the president of the United States, the only person on the Zoom call wearing a mask and sleeping, nodding off during it? I mean, what an embarrassment. And what a message does it send to the Chinese? The Chinese are laughing. It worked. It absolutely worked. Okay? The furlough fraud sitting there with a mask on and nodding off while the rest of the world is talking without a mask. And it's almost like, you know, there's something wrong with this entire picture. It really is.
Well, my big fear is that our adversaries are going to sense weakness, and once they sense weakness, then there's conflict, and when there's conflict, they're shooting, war, death.
They already have. You know what, Al? I'm sorry. The weakness has already been projected. The weakness,
yeah.
It's already projecting that way. They know that the furlough fraud is weak. And, you know, it's also all by design. I am convinced now, with this latest pick, okay, Biden's latest pick that as Assistant Secretary for Human Rights, his latest pick is an anti-Semite. And you know what's even more? She worked for an anti-Israel organization. She worked for a George Soros-sponsored organization. Now, you're going to tell me that this woman, okay, Sarah Morgan, knows something about human rights when she has come out and she has blasted Israel? She's nothing but an anti-Semite. She calls Israel an apartheid state. I mean, this is dictator Joe's pick for Assistant Secretary for Human Rights, a pro-BDS anti-Semite. She worked for Soros' Open Society Foundation? Another anti-American globalist? Come on, man. This is who Joe Biden is putting in place. You know, he's not smart enough to put these people in place. That's why when you connect the dots, it all leads back to Obama. Susan Rice, Don Treason Kerry, Susan Margon. You got Valerie Jarrett in the mix. You've got Yellen there, back in there. All of these people that are in the fold, all ex-Obamaites, all regurgitated. And look what they've done in 103 days. Project weakness? Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah. Okay. The tribal nations, Native Americans, do you consider them racist or a protected class?
I'm not sure I follow
Native
you.
American Indians.
Yeah,
are they racists or a protected class of people in our society?
Well, right now they're a protected class in our society. They've been protected for the last 100 years.
Yeah, 200. That's what I thought, too. And I thought, okay, yeah, Trail of Tears, we came here when we kind of got into a war with the Indian Wars, and we kind of kicked the crap out of them and put them on reservations. Mm-hmm. At least that's how the history is being reported. Well, there's a group called the Black Freedmen. I had never heard of them before, and they actually showed up in the paper. Tribal nations come to grips with their history of racism. Now, here's what makes this story so interesting. As the U.S. faces a reckoning over its history of racism, some Native American tribal nations that once owned slaves also are grasping with their own mistreatment of black people. When Native American tribes were forced from their ancestral homelands in the southeastern United States in what is now Oklahoma in the 1800s, we saw this all in the movie, known as the Trail of Tears, thousands of black slaves owned by tribal members also were removed and forced to provide manual labor along the way. So the Native American Indians owned black slaves by the thousands. Now nearly 200 years later, these descendants of these black slaves are trying to get health care within they're ineligible for health care by the Native Americans today. So now they are fighting to get the right of free health care within the reservation tribal system. So the Native Americans are still jacking these black slaves who were by the thousands that were part of these Native American Indians. So they're racist too. So everybody's a damn racist.
So, okay.
I thought I heard it all. I had no idea that this is even in our history. I thought the Native American Indians were we kind of screwed them over big time because, it was a war. They were tribal, we were civilized, and we kicked the shit out of them, and that's what happened. Sorry, but it's rough. And
yeah, but they took.
But
they
ended
their...
up owning thousands of black slaves. They're slaveholders. They're racist. They're everything. They're Indian nationalists. They're like white. They're what BLM is calling us. They should be going after the Seminole Indians, the Choctaw tribe, and all the other ones, the Cherokees, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, the Muscogee, the Seminole Nation. All had slaves, black slaves.
Black slaves. Maybe they'll get their own casino somewhere.
I don't know. And they're screwing them over today, cheating them out of their health care because they're not all Indian because they're slaves. So they're not really Indians. They're owned slaves of the Indians.
But
I'm sorry. It's really sad. But I find it so ironic, so interesting. And sadly, so funny in a very mocking way.
All I can think about is opening up a casino with a bunch of roulette, and you put money, and you have red and black, so it would be perfect. I mean, and to think, Indians, they're not they're not absolved from you know, killing the white man that came over. I mean, it wasn't a one-way street, by the way. You know, no. this is what history is trying to, you know, the rewriting of history is trying to tell us, you know, that it was a one-way street, but now all of a sudden the history has changed once again in that this black slave.
They own black slaves.
Those rotten bastards. I would start taxing all the casinos. They're no longer tax exempt.
Well, they should lose all their benefits because they own black slaves. And they're racist.
Huh. Oh, we got a joke.
They should have
the
BLM marches through they should have BLM marches through the casinos and trash the casinos all over the country. I demand justice. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. How? No justice, no peace.
No peace.
How? No justice, no peace. How? We march to your casino.
Well, yeah. Imosabi.
Oh, Washington changed their team name from the Redskins?
Yeah.
For the wrong reason. Because it was offensive to the Indians that had slaves.
That's right.
that whole name changing thing now is bullshit and a farce, because they had to have known that was in the history books. It's new information for me, but they had to have known all this. Somebody, somewhere.
No, just it doesn't. This, you know what? From the woke culture to the revisionist history to the United States would be offended. This is not this. Our founders would be rolling in their graves right now. You know, looking at the self-destruction, and it goes back to, you know, when Benjamin Franklin was leaving the convention, and somebody was reported asking Benjamin, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government did you come up with? And he said, a republic if you can keep it. And
exactly. And
that's so true. And there's such a desperation right now from the left-wing anti-constitutionalists, from the communists, the Democrat Communist Party, to dismantle our constitutional republic. And the thing is, with this plandemic, they've used the plandemic as an excuse. They used 9/11 as an excuse, which was the worst attack on our republic. You know, Dementia Joe can say all he wants to say about January 6th. That was nothing. It was nothing. It was absolute horseshit. It was something that was contrived by the left-wing Democrat Party. The Democrat Communist Party wants that to be the number one issue so they can paint me and you as a white supremacist, as a white nationalist, because that's the hot topic today. You know, call everything a white something, okay, and make sure that you instill fear into the hearts of white people so they can feel guilty. Well, you know what? We're not going to take it. It's garbage. Dictator Joe Biden and communist Kamala are two individuals who should not be, you know, dog catchers in the United States, let alone president and vice president. It's just they're a disgrace. They are anti-American. They're anti-constitutional, and may they rot in hell.
So they are the Marxists that are trying to divide us, and when you see it happening, stand up and say no. No more. No more, you Marxist, commie piece of garbage, and stand up for America, stand up for our Constitution, because it's the only way we're going to be able to stop them.
But also support Global Patriot Radio. Tomorrow night, Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesday night, we've got Hank Jones with Poly Sports. He's on at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. He's on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dr. Andrew Harrod is on Friday afternoons, I think at 11 a.m. or 12 p.m. I'll confirm that. Saturday, we got Minister Simon Dakdek and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. There's a guy who's talking about being bullied, okay? Hamas Care goes around the country, and all they do is they bully Usama Dakdak, and they try to stifle free speech in America, using the Constitution to destroy the Constitution. Eric from Kafira stands on Sunday with his Interfaith Dialogue, the real Interfaith Dialogue at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Great show. And then Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Cheap Simple Facts of Life tomorrow, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. And then Simone Nicole Show on Spreaker, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. Great self-help show. And then Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Oh.
Adios, amigos.
Yeah, you won't be safe out there. You know what? Free your mask. You know what? Be safe. Be aware of your surroundings. And we'll be back next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for joining us. You all be safe out there. Good night, folks.
That's all, folks.
Look at that. I still got espresso left. Whoa.
Well, great timing.
Hey, thanks.
Phenomenal timing. Hey. Oh, we didn't even talk about the we forgot to talk about the SpaceX Dragon splashes down.
Oh, yeah.
That
was
kind of a
cool
story.
Was there four?
I'm not sure.
Or three?
But it was, let's see. Shannon Walker.
And we didn't talk about Bill and Melinda Gates calling it quits after 27 years, getting a divorce.
I didn't know about that. What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't hear about that?
She's in for a payday.
Yeah. I think she was banging Fauci.
Ooh,
let's see.
Wonder
Ooh.
If he wore his mask to bed and kept his shoes on.
Yeah, he's after a great deal of thought and a lot of work on our relationship, we have made the decision to end our marriage. Over the last 27 years, we have raised three incredible children and built a foundation that works all over the world to enable all people to lead healthy, productive lives. We continue to share a belief in that mission, and we'll continue our work together at the foundation, but we no longer believe we can grow together as a couple in this next phase of our lives. We ask for space and privacy for our family as we begin to navigate this new life. Melinda Gates and Bill Gates.
I'd love to know what the settlement is. I wonder who was cheating. Well,
duh.
Wasn't there rumors that Bill Gates was involved with Jeffrey Epstein?
You know, I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny that. I don't remember.
Boy, maybe I'm wrong. Probably wrong, but still, I would love to know what kind of settlement she's getting. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, you think Bezos' wife got a little change? I bet she's going to get some change.
Man.
Yeah.
Bag that and take it home.
So Bill Gates is one of the richest individuals in the world with a net worth estimated at $130.5 billion, according to Forbes. So I wonder what... okay, so as a result of the divorce, Mackenzie Bezos received 4% stake in Amazon. She was expected to have received about $38 billion, making her one of the richest women in the world. Yeah, she got $38 billion plus 4% stake in Amazon.
Holy mackerel.
Now, how involved was Melinda Gates in the amassing of a wealth with Bill Gates?
Well, they had the philanthropic arm as well, where they gave all the money away. I think she was heavily involved in that. I don't know. How many billions is that worth?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she. I mean, if they can part with $30 million, I can use that and put it to good use and to hire people. I just need $30 million, and I'll be all set.
Shoot, I'd go for at least a billion, maybe five. I'd go for $5 billion, say $5 billion, and we'll call it quits.
Well, no, I mean, if they can part with
the house, $5 billion, I keep the house and the kids.
Well, I'm talking about me personally. I think if they can, while they're doing this, divvying it up, if they can see fit to just part with $30 million, I can put it to good use and hire about 15 to 20 people, maybe even a little bit more, and do a lot of green space work, and they can put it to good use. But if they if they're looking to part with some money, you know, 15 mil aside, that'd be perfect.
So, Miss Gates, why did you divorce the richest man in the entire world? I was emotionally not satisfied.
I'm emotionally not satisfied. Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck.
What happened? Uh-oh.
Oh, there you are. That was weird. I thought
did it blink? It flashed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard a disconnect sound.
Oh, it was right when Sue left. That was weird. Yeah, that was weird. Right when we were
pondering, what do you say? What does Mrs. Bill Gates say? So, dear, why did you divorce the richest man in the world?
Gosh, there were so many stories to go out on, man. It was like, I couldn't get away from John Kerry though. You know, it really annoys me that John Kerry story has taken a back seat, and it's really sad, because this is a really bad story. Bad in the sense that this man has betrayed the trust of America. He violated the Logan Act. He also betrayed the previous president and endeared himself with a adversary. And and you know, to get in bed with the enemy, that's something that really and truly, this should have been first and foremost put out there. And
yeah.
I mean, wow.
Well, this fucker John Kerry, he has a pattern of behavior going back to Vietnam, and the anti-war movement, siding with the commies then and the NVA to advance the anti-war movement against America, to the point of throwing his or somebody mentioned in his call, throwing his medals or somebody else's, which it probably was, over the fence at the White House. And then from there, during, 2018, illegally talking to the Iranians.
Yeah.
But Trump didn't do anything, and now he's going out of his lane, still negotiating with the Iranians. Granted, he probably had a permission to do it, but not as a climate advisor. But and then giving classified information on our ally to the Iranians, their enemies, with a growing nuclear program.
So, what's a climate advisor doing negotiating with their enemies? First of all, if a climate advisor, if this guy's put in a position of a climate advisor, why isn't he with the Paris Peace Accord? Why is he taking it up between the United Nations and the European Union? You know, why isn't he involved in that? What is he doing talking to a rogue terrorist nation? Why?
Well, him and Zarif are friends. I mean, there's familial relations going back years. I think then the daughter the Kerry daughter married an Iranian doctor who has a familial tie to Zarif, and they were at his wedding.
Direct tie. You're exactly right.
Okay.
Direct ties to the Iranian government. Direct.
Okay. No security clearance for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right? I would think
that's why I blame the Republicans.
Yep.
Some Republican could file the paper, whether anything happens or not, file the goddamn charges and make it news and then have a trial. See what happens. If he gets off, he gets off. Either way, there's going to be, it'll put a lot of spotlight on him and something will shake, but no Republican will do that, which confounds me.
Well, it's a one-party system, you know, and think about it. You know, to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, okay? You say you brought up a great point. What about the Republicans? Okay. So now you've got Lindsey Graham making excuses. And you know what? I fully understand being cautious. We don't know if the tape is real or not. Oh, okay. Well, it's John Kerry's voice. So why don't you demand an investigation? Okay. Why don't you demand that John Kerry open up? Isn't there a transparency issue here? Let me see your files from that time period. Let me see your emails. You know, open up to the point where you may have been conspiring with the enemy. You're aiding and abetting the enemy. And because you're a former senator, that gives you a pass. And you know, all of a sudden you've got Susan Collins speaking conciliatory. Well, he was a colleague. He was a good colleague. That's irrelevant. The issue is you have a man who now is on tape from a leak tape, okay, in his own words, talking with a rogue nation during another president's term. I mean, and why are you protecting this man? Why? Because he was a former colleague? Okay. That's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, Al, I just don't. Honestly, I don't get it. I don't get it.
This Marxist infiltration is, and this critical race theory and using race to divide us is working. I mean,
it is
working good.
Hey, prairie fire. You know,
well,
Claire.
I mean, at the end of this article that I was reading from in Primus from Hillsdale, I don't know if you ever get these mailed to you or not, but they're excellent. But at the end, he said, well, no matter where you're at, if this comes into your world, the only way to beat it is to say no and challenge it. And I got to thinking of your niece. Maybe is this the place where she makes a stand? I don't know. I mean, being black, it puts her at a great advantage to do something that that we can't.
I told her to use that angle. I did. I said, you know, opine your belief system. You know, don't embellish on it, but you know, give your point of view. And you know, let's get back to Kerry for a second. I found an article. That's okay. I found an article, and I know we're both of us got to go here. From May 5th, 2018, repeal the Logan Act. It was from National Review. And this is the way it starts off. News broke Friday that John Kerry has been meeting with foreign sources, including the Iranian ambassador to the UN, in order to promote a common foreign policy agenda with the Iranian regime at the expense of the current administration. There are many reasons to criticize Kerry for this, not least of which is that it's part of a lifelong pattern of siding with the argument of the nation's enemies. One argument against Kerry's pursuit of a foreign policy at odds with the current commander-in-chief is that it's a federal crime under the Logan Act. So here's an article that confirms that Kerry was talking to an enemy of the United States, and he was promoting a common foreign policy agenda, which is totally illegal. And you're right. Where are the Republicans? And why didn't President Trump have his attorney general go after this bastard?
That is the question that I'm wondering. I've got the same question rattling in my head. Why didn't Trump do anything? He talked about it. He even said as much in 18 that Kerry violated the Logan Act. But then again, who was the attorney general at the time? Bob Barr?
No, it was back then. Was it Sessions? was the Attorney General?
I'm not sure. I don't know. It's one of those guys. But it seems like if you're the president, you could go to the Attorney General and say, file charges now against this guy for violation of the Logan Act. Put it together. Send it. Get it started.
Okay, so the Logan Act has been in existence since 1799. It states any citizen of the United States, wherever he may be, who without authority of the United States directly or indirectly commences or carries on any correspondence or intercourse with any foreign government or any officer or agent thereof with intent to influence the measure of conduct of any foreign government or any officer or agent thereof in relation to any disputes or controversies with the United States or to defeat the measures of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. I would say that he was conspiring to defeat the measures of the United States as put forth by the Trump administration.
Well, yeah, he's illegally negotiating with a foreign country, whether it's on behalf of the United States or not. He's still talking to a foreign leader, and somebody's got to know that he's doing it. That's why they make it illegal.
And this is May 5th, 2018, National Review.
Yes. So the big question, you asked it, why didn't Trump throw down the hammer?
I don't know. You repeated it, and it finally resonated with me. I don't know either.
You figured?
You asked the question several times, and now it finally resonated with me. Fox News, May 5th, 2018, John Kerry under fire for reported shadow diplomacy to save Iran deal. Again, Kerry sat down twice with Iranian foreign minister Javad Zarif in recent months to strategize a bid to save the deal. Again, sat down.
To save the deal, Trump was getting us out of. His foreign policy was exact 180-degree opposite of what Kerry was doing.
Yeah.
He's so undermining the foreign policy of the United States of America and the commander-in-chief.
Yep.
So why didn't the Justice Department, they should have done that on their own. They should have done that on their own.
Now, you know what, Al? That really brings another. I think you nailed it. You said two words: Justice Department. The Justice Department, as we've learned, which has been suppressed, the Justice Department is a sordid mess. It is a protected, incestuous department that protects the Democrat Party, and it protects the government party. From Lisa Page to Peter Strzok, why they're not in jail for, over 10,000 emails conversing back and forth with trying to get Donald Trump the candidate, trying to get Donald Trump the president-elect, and then the president. That alone should have treasonous sedition, at least, methods, consequences. And there were absolutely zero consequences for their actions. Zero. Mm-hmm. They were what? They quit. Big deal. Big deal.
Yeah. Good question. I would love to know the answer to that.
Yep. All right.
If you find it, I'll get you a sleeve of Titleist AVXs.
Ooh, I like that. That'd be great. Actually, I just bought a dozen of AVXs. I'm gonna try them.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things. People like them. Almost more than the Pro V1X.
Yeah, you know what? I used the Pro V1X, and I hit the crap out of the Pro V1X. Man, I got a better feel with the Pro V1X around the greens than the AVX. That's the only thing I don't like about the AVX ball. It's the touch and feel around the green. But I like the Pro V1X. You know, I used it the first time I used the AVX ball, the very first time, a mutual friend of ours gave me a sleeve. I pulled one out, on a par three, 148 yards, and I got a hole in one with it. And I hadn't used it for a year. I still had the I have the two balls that are left.
Is that recent? Another hole in one recently?
No, that was last year. Year before last. And I just opened up that pack. I got two of them in my golf bag now. I used one of them last week.
Which hole was it on?
It was the number four at Cricket Cat.
Ooh. Interesting. What was it like that day?
Okay, so it was a clear morning.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of wind into the face. All you could see is the top of the flagstick, and it was a big bunker that covered the front of the green, so you couldn't see the hole, but you could see the top of the flagstick, which gave you a great.
So we're talking an elevated green here.
No, the green was actually a little bit lower than an elevated green. That is correct. Yep, and a bunker that guarded the green. So if you came up short, you're in the bunker. The idea was to hit it high, let it come straight down, and if you hit it towards the pin, the slope of the green and back of the bunker should take it, you know, towards the hole. And so a buddy of mine tees off, and he hits a very nice shot just left of the pin. It disappears, and then all of a sudden the ball appeared in the back. You can see it just rolled up the hill. And you could see it as it went by the pin. It was to the left of the pin. I hit mine, and I hit mine right at towards the pin. It got over the trap, and the first thought was, "Oh crap! I was short. I was in the trap." So we drove up, and there were three balls. I saw my buddy's ball over to the left, and then the other two balls were off the green. And I said, "Geez!" So I looked in the trap, and somebody said, "Is your ball in the trap?" I said, "No." I said, "Maybe I should check the cup." And I walked over to the cup, and there it was. AVX was showing. Titleist AVX.
How many yards?
148 yards.
Is that a 9-iron or an 8-iron?
No, I choked down on an 8-iron because it was into the wind. I said, I'm on it. Yep. Right. So I hit an 8-iron.
So the winds were gusting. The winds were gusting that day.
No, it wasn't gusting. It was just a breeze into the face. It wasn't gusting, but it was a breeze.
Gosh, we're angry that day.
I know. Played it to the back of the stance, a little further back, but I wanted to hit it high, and choked down on the 8-iron, and boom. Rest is history.
Awesome. Great story. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And I finally,
and
right, I still,
gonna,
I, all right, go ahead.
No, go on. What?
No. I'll talk to you later.
No, finish your thought. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I just took out the two, and I found the pack of two AVXs, and I just took them out, and I actually used one last Saturday, I think I used it.
Yeah.
Yeah, last Friday I used
it. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Have a great week. Good show
you
as
too.
Always.
Likewise. You thank you for using Block Talk Radio.
Audio.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks. Thank you for using
Bye-bye.
Block.